we've been talking about, God's been dealing with the nations that are basically surrounding His country, His children, Israel. Not only surrounding them, but in the vicinity of them. In other words, not just bordering the nation of Israel, but even spread out round about. We're going to take a look at a couple more tonight. We'll begin this way. Chapter 49, verse 1. Concerning the Ammonites. Thus saith the Lord. Hath Israel no sons? Hath he no heir? Why then doth their kings inherit Gad, and his people dwell in his cities? Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will cause an alarm of war to be heard in Rabbah of the Ammonites, and it shall be a desolate heap, and her daughters shall be burned with fire. Then shall Israel be heir unto them that were his heirs, saith the Lord. Howl, O Heshbon, for Ai is spoiled. Cry, ye daughters of Rabbah. Gird yourselves with sackcloth. Lament and run to and fro by the hedges, for their king shall go into captivity, and his priests and his princes together. Here God asks four questions of the Ammonites. Oh, man. Here are the four questions. He said, does Israel have any sons? Doesn't Israel have any heirs to their land? And then those first two questions. Then he asks these two questions. Why then does the Ammonite king take over the territory that belongs to Gad? And why do the Ammonite people take over the cities of that area? When the Assyrians came in the north there, and destroyed the northern kingdom, well, as they took everyone captive that they took, the Ammonites just rolled on in and thought, hey, this is cool. We'll take this area. We like this. This is neat. And they sort of rolled in and said, this is ours now. Kind of like Palestine. The Palestinians are trying to do still to this very day over in Israel. And it's creating major, major troubles. Well, God asks the questions. Hey, doesn't Israel have any sons? Any heirs? What are you doing on the land? They are the ones that should have the land. God notices, and he says this, your own capital city of Rabbah will be attacked and destroyed. The people of that city would mourn over the devastation. Israel belongs to God. He said, not only are they my chosen people, but the land is the land where I choose to put my name. Now, you and I might have chosen Hawaii, or maybe New Zealand, or maybe, I don't know what you would have chosen if you were God, and you would have said, "Oh, the whole earth, let me pick a spot that I'll put my name on." I don't know that you and I would have chosen Jerusalem, but God did. And his name has never been taken from there. And so you can believe that he's going to take it back someday. And right now it is under major turmoil. Notice. And I'm sure that you probably saw the strike that Israel did after the suicide bombing, that they struck into the heart of Syria at the supposedly Hamas and et cetera, terrorists training camp. And now Syria is asking the United Nations to condemn that attack. So who knows what will happen next? God knows, and we don't. But God says to the Ammonites, hey, what are you doing on my property? Who do you think you are? Doesn't Israel have sons? Doesn't he have heirs? That's who the property belongs to. I'm going to have to get you off my property. So he does it by attacking their land as well. God says that their capital city and all their cities will be destroyed because of it. Nobody gets away with taking God's dirt. I like it. Because there are people today on the Temple Mount who have taken God's dirt. And God says, I'm taking it back. And when I do, you will be sorry. But mark his words, God's going to take it back. It's coming. Verse 4 says this. Wherefore, or why, do you glory in the valleys, your flowing valley, O backsliding daughter, that trusted in her treasure, saying, who shall come unto me? Behold, I will bring a fear upon thee, saith the Lord God of hosts, from all those that be about thee, and you shall be driven out every man right forth, and none shall gather up him that wandereth. And afterward I will bring again the captivity of the children of Ammon, saith the Lord. He says Ammon's problem, the Ammonites' problem, the land of Ammon, their problem is just like the land of Moab. What was their problem? Pride. She boasted that her valleys were so fruitful. She trusted in her riches to protect her. But God's judgment, he says, will shatter her pride. Her riches would be destroyed. The people would be driven away, and there will be no leader to gather them back together again. But notice at the end of verse 6, afterward, I will bring again the captivity of the children of Ammon, saith the Lord. I will take them back into what the area that's theirs now. Now, we've talked about this before. God's promised that a few times. Egypt, Moab, now Ammon. God says, there's coming a time when it's all going to be repaid, taken care of. I'll allow you to be there. I'll place you back in there. And you and I have talked about it. We call it the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. It's coming a time when he's going to set it all right and allow people their little spots. And Ammon will be one of them. Now, we move from Ammon to Edom, E-D-O-M. Do you remember? Edom is also interchangeable for who? Can anybody remember? Esau, good. Remember the brothers, who were they? Somebody tell me, they were brothers, who were they? Good, Jacob and Esau. Jacob have I loved, God said. Jacob and Esau. Esau is also called Edom. So, verse 7, concerning Edom. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, is wisdom no more in Teman? Is counsel perished from the prudent? Is their wisdom vanished? Flee ye. Turn back. Dwell deep, O inhabitants of Dedan, for I will bring the calamity of Esau upon him, the time that I will visit him. If grape gatherers come to thee, would they not leave some gleaning grapes? If thieves by night, they will destroy till they have enough. But I have made Esau bare. I have uncovered his secret places. And he shall not be able to hide himself. His seed is spoiled, and his brethren and his neighbors, and he is not. Leave thy fatherless children, I will preserve them alive, and let thy widows trust in me. For thus saith the Lord, behold, they whose judgment was not to drink of the cup have assuredly drunken. And art thou he that shall altogether go unpunished? Thou shalt not go unpunished, but thou shalt surely drink of it. For I have sworn by myself, saith the Lord, that Bozrah shall become a desolation, a reproach, a waste, and a curse. And all the cities thereof shall be perpetual wastes. Wisdom was associated with the men and the women, the people of Teman or Teman. Remember the book of Job. Remember when we studied through the book of Job together, we met a character, Eliphaz or Eliphaz. He was the Temanite. Remember, he came down as Job's friend and tried to share his wisdom. He was a wise man, but in many cases he got it all wrong. All of Edom, as a matter of fact, were known for their wise men, their wise counsel, their wisdom. God says, where's that wisdom now? You're acting like fools. The inhabitants are warned here. Turn now and run away. God says, turn now and run away. Where's your wisdom now? Use your wisdom. Has wisdom left you? Get out of here while the getting's good. If you've got wisdom, then get out now. Flee from the trouble that's on the way. And God uses against Edom, or against Esau, if you want to use that, as he also uses the name in here, two images to show God's coming judgment. Interesting images. Grape pickers. He says when the grape gatherers, when they come through, they usually leave a little bit for those who might want to glean. And he says thieves, when they show up in the night, They take as much as they can take quickly, and they get out. In other words, they don't take everything. Grave gatherers don't take everything, neither do the thieves. But God's judgment, he says, I'll be more thorough than the grape pickers. I'll be much more thorough than thieves during the night. In other words, nothing will be left. We're going to leave nothing. He will strip Esau or Edom completely bare. He's going to leave nothing. And God says, surely, he swears, surely Edom will be judged. Why? Because of how they have treated my children, my people. You see, right now, if you'll go back and read through the last few chapters and just take a look at the map of Israel, countries haven't changed. It's just their names have changed. You may not call it Syria 1,000 years ago or 2,000, but that's what it is. The area remains the same. Go take a look at your Bibles. Normally, you've got maps. Most Bibles, even though the maps aren't the best in the world, you can still take a look and you can see the countries or the areas surrounding Israel and lying round about. And you'll see God's not leaving anybody out. The whole area is going to be hit. It's going to be a mess. Verse 14 says, I have heard a rumor from the Lord. An ambassador is sent unto the heathen, saying, gather ye together, come against her, rise up to the battle. For lo, I will make you small among the heathen and despised among men. Thy terribleness hath deceived thee. Terribleness has deceived thee. And the pride of thine heart, O thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, that holds the heights of the hill, should make thy nest as high as an eagle, I will bring thee down from there, saith the Lord. Also Edom shall be a desolation. Every one that goeth by it shall be astonished, and shall hiss at all the plagues thereof, as in the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, the neighbor cities thereof, saith the Lord. No man shall abide there, neither shall a son of man dwell in it. You see, God says, when I do it, it's going to be complete, where it will be unmistakable that God did it, and unlivable. God here shows in verses 14 through 18 that he is the one who is gathering the coming armies together. At the very beginning in 14, I heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent unto the heathen, saying, gather you together. In other words, this is what God is doing, so that his will is being accomplished. This is his judgment upon Edom. Now think about today. When you are watching Bible prophecy unfold before your eyes, and you're seeing how the Middle East is setting itself up for the final battles, how they are aligning and they're fighting, they're jockeying for position, they're trying to get what they can get. They don't trust one another. Saudi Arabia are terrorists, but they try to remain friends with the UN, with America. But you can see how they're trying to fit themselves so that if anything goes wrong, they'll be all right and everybody else will get nuked. You notice the whole Middle East is doing that. Notice everybody's trying to get themselves into a place where if it really comes down to all-out blast, they're going to sort of be on the side that won't all-out blast them. And then they're scrambling, trying to come up with the ability to all-out blast somebody else, just in case. So you've got Iran, you've got Saudi Arabia, you've got Iraq, they're sort of out of the picture right now. And what you're seeing going on in Babylon, in Iraq, is terrorists or are terrorists from all nations slipping in there. So Iraq is one big mess. It's not over there. This is God's judgment, and he's setting it all up right now. It'll be interesting to watch. God says he will bring down the pride of Edom, and it will become like Sodom and Gomorrah. Which, by the way, they were blasted too. We go on in verse 19. Behold, He shall come up like a lion from the swelling of Jordan against the habitation of the strong. But I will suddenly make him run away from her. And who is a chosen man that I may appoint over her? For who is like me? And who will appoint me the time? And who is that shepherd that will stand before me? Therefore, hear the counsel of the Lord that he hath taken against Edom, and his purposes that he hath purposed against the inhabitants of Teman. Surely the least of the flock shall draw them out. Surely he shall make their habitations desolate with them. The earth is moved at the noise of their fall, at the cry of the noise thereof was heard in the Red Sea. Behold, he shall come up and fly as the eagle, and spread his wings over Bozra. And at that day shall the heart of the mighty men of Edom be as the heart of a woman in birth pains. God says, against Edom, he will be as fierce as a lion when he rises up to chase Edom from their own land. And he says, and what shepherd, if you've got someone there to defend you and protect you, what shepherd could stand up against me to stop me? And God answers, there is not one. You have no hope. There is no stopping the judgment that's coming. God promises to drag away the young of the flock, to destroy all of Edom. The cry of destruction, he says, is going to carry all the way down to the Red Sea. Now note something here. Maybe you haven't noticed it, but it's noticeable because it's missing. It's noticeable, it's loud because it's not said. I'll show you what I mean. There is no promise here of future restoration for Edom, like there was for Egypt, for Moab, and for Ammon, the Ammonite. Notice, there is no promise of restoration for Edom. God says, like Sodom and Gomorrah, what happened to them? They were blasted. They're gone. They're still gone today. He says, that's going to happen to Edom. No promise in the millennial reign that he's going to bring them back and give them their spot. No, it's gone. Now, this prophecy was fulfilled during what you and I call the intertestamental period, the 400 years of silence between the New Testament and the Old. Edom was completely crushed and gone. A few that survived, some of the stragglers even went down into Israel, and they didn't call them Edomites any longer. The Edomites are gone and have been gone. Some of them have become known as Idumeans. But Edom is gone, never to be heard from nor seen again, just as God promised. Well, we'll move on. Verse 23. Concerning Damascus. Now we're headed back up north, Syria way. Hamath is confounded, and Arpad, for they have heard evil tidings. They are faint-hearted. There is sorrow in the sea. It cannot be quiet. Damascus is grown feeble, turned herself to flee, and fear hath seized on her. Anguish and sorrows have taken her as a woman in travail. How is the city of praise not left, the city of my joy? Therefore, her young men shall fall in her streets, and all the men of war shall be cut off in that day, saith the Lord of hosts. And I will kindle a fire in the wall of Damascus, and it shall consume the palaces of Ben-Hadad, the king. Now, here we see three major cities of Syria listed: Hamath, Arpad, and Damascus. So, if you look at a map, you know, right where we're talking about, Damascus is still right there, and that makes the news quite often. They're north of Israel. And what God says here is, you'll be afraid when you hear the news. You'll tremble when you hear the news of the Babylonian armies advancing towards you. And God says, no matter how much you fear, no matter how powerful you think you are, The armies will destroy you. God's promises are these. You will be completely destroyed. Notice, everyone, without exception, God is dealing one at a time with all those who have stood against him and who have harmed his people. God will not forget, and he will continue to do that. Some of these prophecies, you will notice, will be fulfilled in the future, our future still. Verse 28 goes on to say, concerning Kedar, and concerning the kingdom of Hazar, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, shall smite. Thus saith the Lord, arise ye, go up to Kedar, and spoil the men of the east. Their tents and their flocks shall they take away. They shall take to themselves their curtains, and all their vessels, and their camels, and they shall cry unto them, fear is on every side. God calls King Nebuchadnezzar to destroy the tents of Kedar. Kedar, they would be, you and I today, what would we say? Nomads, Bedouins. Those who dwell in tents and take their flocks from place to place. Still over, if you've been to Israel or if you've been over to Jordan, that area, you'll see the Bedouins. They just park their tents wherever they decide to park them, where there's some food for their flocks. Then they'll stay a week or so and they'll move on. God says, when the Babylonian armies come in, they're going to destroy you. They'll destroy the tents of these Bedouins. And they'll take their flocks with all their goods and their camels. They'll just use them for food and etc. But they'll burn their tents and destroy their tents. So notice, no one gets left out. Verse 30 says this, flee, run away. Get you far off. Dwell deep, O ye inhabitants of Hazar. Saith the Lord, for Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, hath taken counsel against you and hath conceived a purpose against you. Arise, get you up to the wealthy nation that dwelleth without care, saith the Lord, which have neither gates nor bars, which dwell alone. Their camels shall be a booty, and the multitude of their cattle a spoil, and I will scatter into all the winds them that are in the utmost corners. And I will bring their calamity from all sides thereof, saith the Lord. And Hazar shall be a dwelling for dragons and a desolation forever. And there shall no man abide there, nor any son of man dwell in it. People of Hazar, that's a city just north of Israel, just north of the border of Israel. Once again, God says those people need to flee. Because your city is on the path of the coming armies and they'll destroy it. Get out of your places. He says, go and dwell deep. What he's talking about there is, and you and I would say, go and live in the caves. Get out of the cities. All the cities will be destroyed. Run, run now and dwell in the caves. Okay, verses 34, starting in verse 34. Now, word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah, the prophet, against Elam in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah. Elam, let's see, that's Elam now. It's just east of Babylon. You know the river Babylon, the city Babylon. Okay, now you, if you know your geography pretty well, what's east of the of Babylon in the country of Iraq? What's there? What country is there? Right, good. You're good. See, you don't need old-time maps. You got it. Iran, exactly. Just east of Iraq is Iran. So we're talking about Elam, which is the nation of Iran. And so the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, the prophet, against Elam in the beginning of the reigns of Zedekiah, king of Judah, saying this, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will break the bow of Elam, the chief of their might. And upon Elam will I bring the four winds from the four quarters of heaven, and will scatter them toward all the winds, all those winds, and there shall be no nation whither the outcasts of Elam shall not come. For I will cause Elam to be dismayed before their enemies, and before them that seek their life, and I will bring evil upon them, even my fierce anger, saith the Lord. And I will send the sword after them till I have consumed them. And I will set my throne in Elam, underline that. I will set my throne in Elam and will destroy from there the king of the princes, saith the Lord. But it shall come to pass in the latter days, now we're talking about the end times, that I will bring again the captivity of Elam, saith the Lord. Okay, we've seen that over and over. Now watch. Just east of Babylon, we call it modern day Iran. God promises to break the bow of Elam. What does he mean? To destroy their fences. Their fences too, but their weapons, God says, were the mainstay of their might. They thought they couldn't be beaten. They thought they were too strong. They were known, the Elamites, the Iranians in those days, were known for their archery skills. Robin Hood was better. I've seen the movie. But they were known for their archery skills. These guys were good. So God says, I'll break the bow. The very thing that's your PowerPoint, the very thing where your military is the most strong, that I will destroy. God says the invaders will come from the four winds, from the four quarters of heaven. All that means to you and me is north, south, east, and west. In other words, they will come from all sides, the invaders will, all at once. You'll be invaded. And they're going to scatter the exiles where? Bible says, God's word says, all over the earth, every nation. But again, look at God's kindness. In the last days, in the latter days, during the reign of Jesus Christ, we see that God will restore the land of Edom during his millennial reign. He will bring again the captivity. He will allow them to be there in that land. So we go into chapter 50. And here's the biggie. What everybody's been waiting for. The word that the Lord spoke against Babylon and against the land of the Chaldeans by Jeremiah the prophet. Declare ye among the nations and publish and set up a standard. Publish and conceal not. Say, Babylon is taken. Bel is confounded. Murdoch is broken in pieces. Her idols are confounded. Her images are broken in pieces. For out of the north cometh up a nation against her, which shall make her land desolate, and none shall dwell therein. They shall remove, they shall depart, both man and beast. In those days, and in that time, saith the Lord, the children of Israel shall come. They and the children of Judah together, going and weeping, they shall go and seek the Lord their God. They shall ask the way to Zion, with their faces facing that way, thitherward, saying, come and let us join ourselves to the Lord in a perpetual covenant that shall not be broken. Okay. Chapter 50. God's promise to destroy Babylon. And God says, Jeremiah, I want you to make this a public announcement. I want it announced. I want it broadcast publicly against the nation of Babylon itself. Announce to all nations the destruction of Babylon. If you're wondering where that is modern day Iraq today. Babylon will be taken. God says it's a guarantee. The protecting God that Babylon had back then and still today some of them worship was called Bel, B-E-L. Also the name Murdoch. It's the same God. And he says, your gods will be put to shame. Why? Because those are your protecting gods. Bel is your Murdoch. That's your protecting God. And he's going to be defenseless. Even his images will be broken and crushed. You're depending on your God, and it will do you no good at all. Your God will not stop the destruction that's coming. I think that when I think about Islam, when they worship the moon god, Allah, and they think their God will protect them. And our God says, no, your God will be put to shame and broken because your God will not protect you when the judgment of the living God comes. Babylon will be destroyed by an enemy from the north. Now, some Bible teachers teach that this was fulfilled when they were defeated by the Medes and the Persians. Remember when Nebuchadnezzar's grandson was on the throne? Second in command. And the Medes and the Persians slipped in and destroyed Babylon without a shot fired. Remember the night in the book of Daniel, chapter 5, where the handwriting was on the wall? So some say, well, Babylon was destroyed then. No, it wasn't. Babylon was not destroyed. People weren't put to death. People didn't flee. The city itself was not crushed and destroyed. It was just taken over by the Medes and the Persians. And by the way, the Medes and the Persians came from the east, not from the north. And when Cyrus, the Medes and Persians, King Cyrus, when he did take Babylon, he did not lay the land to waste, like God said it would be laid to waste. He moved in and used what was there. And when Babylon was conquered back then, Judah had not been brought back together as a nation yet. Remember? Many from Judah were still in Babylon when Cyrus took over. That's where you're going to meet Ezra and Nehemiah and Esther. You're going to meet them there, serving the Medes and the Persians. True? So therefore, this prophecy was not fulfilled then. When was this prophecy fulfilled? Right. It has not been fulfilled yet, has it? This prophecy is yet future. If you'll just look at history, this prophecy is yet to be fulfilled. And God says an enemy is coming, and you won't be able to stop them. Your gods will not stop what is going to take place. Look at verse 6. My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place. All that found them have devoured them. Notice God's talking about how his people have been treated for the last thousands of years. All that found them have devoured them. And their adversary said, we offend not because they have sinned against the Lord, the habitation of justice, even the Lord, the hope of their fathers. Remove out of the midst of Babylon and go forth out of the land of the Chaldeans and be as the he-goats before the flocks. For lo, I will raise and cause to come up against Babylon an assembly of great nations, plural. Notice, it won't just be one nation. It will be an assembly of nations. From the north country, yea. And they shall set themselves in array against her. From thence she shall be taken. Their arrows shall be as of a mighty expert man. None shall return in vain. Hear that? I call those precision-guided weapons. He says, their arrows, when they're fired, none shall return in vain. Every one of them will hit the mark, the target that they're aiming for. Precision-guided arrows. And Chaldea shall be a spoil. At that spoil, all that spoil her shall be satisfied, saith the Lord. God's people had sinned against him. It's true, he says. And that's what their punishment was all about. That's why they're in Babylon. That's why the Assyrians overpowered them in the north. That's why it happened, because God warned them to turn back and listen to him, and they refused. They wouldn't do God's word. They wouldn't do God's will. They didn't want to hear it. And so they were taken into captivity for a time. They were just like sheep without a shepherd, scattered throughout the world, God says. When Jesus came to this planet, took off the robes of heaven, left heaven and came down, he wept. And when he saw the Jewish people, he saw them as what? Sheep without a shepherd. They're still scattered all over the world, but the ones he saw right there, he had compassion on them because they were clueless. They had no direction. They had no hope. They were being crushed methodically by the Roman government. They had no one to really lead them. They had a fake high priest. They had a fake council, Sanhedrin, that was full of hypocrites and liars and murderers and thieves. And Jesus saw them as wounded, scattered sheep without a shepherd. What does God say? God calls for his sheep to finally come out of Babylon because it will be destroyed and it will be completely destroyed. Because, verse 11, you were glad. Because you rejoiced, O you destroyers of mine heritage. Because you are grown fat as the heifer at grass and bellow as bulls. Your mother shall be sore confounded. She that bare you shall be ashamed. Behold, the hindermost of the nations shall be a wilderness, a dry land, and a desert. Because of the wrath of the Lord, it shall not be inhabited, but it shall be wholly desolate. Everyone that goes by Babylon shall be astonished and hiss at all her plagues. Notice the future of Iraq. No matter what everybody thinks will happen, notice the future. Babylon sinned in destroying God's children and God's land. And God says that great city of Babylon will be so completely destroyed that anyone who passes by it will be horrified at the complete devastation of it. Hey guys, somebody's going to nuke that place, it looks like. Somebody is going to so crush it that it will be nothing. I don't know if it will be America, because God said a league of nations, a group, a formation of nations. It's going to destroy that place. It's going to be gone. It's going to be crushed. It's just going to be dust. That's what's going to happen to Babylon. Has it happened yet? No. I mean, they did take a little beating just a little while back, but nothing like what's about to happen to them. And why is it happening to them? Because terrorists live there? No. There are more terrorists in there now than when we first attacked. Terrorists are now flooding in, looking for their chance to bomb somebody and make a name for themselves. Is it because of ugliness and terror? No. It's because of their treatment of the Lord God Himself, of their idol worship, and because of their treatment of the Jewish people. Don't you notice that Iraq today hates Israel and wants to see nothing but every one of them driven into the sea and destroyed? And God says it's not going to be ignored. Judgment is coming because of that. Look at verse 14. Put yourselves in array against Babylon, round about. In other words, surround the city, all ye that bend the bow. Shoot at her, spare no arrows, for she sinned against the Lord. Shout against her round about. She hath given her hand. Her foundations are fallen, her walls are thrown down, for it is the vengeance of the Lord. Take vengeance upon her, as she hath done unto her. As she has done, do unto her. Cut off the sower from Babylon. Let him that handles the sickle in the time of harvest, for fear of the oppression or the oppressing sword, they shall turn every one to his people. They shall flee every one to his own land. God's vengeance will be poured out upon the city of Babylon. And God warns the foreigners. All of you have noticed, I'm sure, watching the news, many foreigners are kind of heading into Babylon, heading into Iraq. Many from Pakistan. Many from Afghanistan. Notice many from Syria, many from Lebanon, Jordan, from Saudi. You notice how they're flooding in. Here's what God says to the foreigners. Get out. Get out before it's too late. That is not the place to be headed for right now, guys. I hear some Americans say, man, when it calms down a little bit, I'm going to go over there and open a McDonald's because you make a fortune. That's not the place to go be setting up a McDavid's or a McDonald's. Not if God's word is true, and I believe God's word is true. You've got a guarantee of what's coming upon that plucky little nation. Look at chapter verse 17. Israel is a scattered sheep. The lions have driven him away. First, the king of Assyria hath devoured him. Last, this Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, hath broken his bones. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will punish the king of Babylon and his land, as I have punished the king of Assyria. And I will bring Israel again to his habitation, and he shall feed on Carmel and Bashan, and his soul shall be satisfied upon Mount Ephraim and Gilead. In those days, and in that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none. And the sins of Judah, and they shall not be found, for I will pardon them whom I reserve. Okay. All of Israel's sins will be completely forgiven. When will that be, everybody? Are they completely forgiven right now? No, they're still living over there and fighting for themselves in unbelief, aren't they? There's coming a time when Jesus Christ will show up. He will appear in the heavens. And they shall look upon him whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn as a mother for an only child. And they'll believe. And Jesus Christ will return to this earth and set his feet solidly on the Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives will split. There'll be a new valley. He'll set up his kingdom, and of his kingdom there will be no end, and the Jewish people will worship him, and that's what Jesus is talking about. The northern, he says, and the southern kingdom are being referred to here. The northern was taken by the Assyrians, the south by the Babylonians. God says, I will punish both the Assyrians and the Babylonians, and I will bring Israel back to her land, and not only back to her land, completely, all of Israel. But I will forgive their sins, and their sins will be no more. Everybody, that's still future. Just like the complete destruction of Babylon. It may be near future, but it's still future. You and I are alive. We might just get to see this before we get raptured out. Hope not. Hope we're just gone in a few minutes. But anyway. Verse 21. Go up against the land of Marathaim. Even against it and against the inhabitants of Pekahad, waste and utterly destroy after them, saith the Lord. And do according to all that I have commanded thee. A sound of battle is in the land and of great destruction. How is the hammer of the whole earth cut asunder and broken? How is Babylon become a desolation among the nations? I have laid a snare for thee, and thou art also taken, O Babylon, and thou wast not aware. You didn't know. Thou art found and also caught, because thou hast striven against the Lord. You strived against God, he says. The Lord hath opened his armory and hath brought forth the weapons of his indignation. For this is the work of the Lord God of hosts in the land of the Chaldeans. Come against her from the uttermost border, or the utmost border. Open her storehouses. Cast her up as heaps. Destroy her utterly. Let nothing of her be left. Slay all her bullocks. Let them go down to the slaughter. Woe unto them. For their day is come, the time of their visitation. The voice of them that flee and escape out of the land of Babylon, to declare in Zion the vengeance of the Lord our God, the vengeance of his temple. This area, the city that he talks about in verse 21, Marathaim, that is, let's get our bearings. It's in southern Babylon. Still in the nation of Iraq, just southern Babylon. And he says, the one who is like a hammer that destroyed others will be destroyed themselves. Remember how the Babylonians crushed all that they came in contact with. And remember when they were defeated, when Nebuchadnezzar's grandson was there. Remember, the Medes and the Persians diverted the river and walked in and took the city, and there was hardly a battle. You recall that. So they haven't been crushed yet. It's still coming. They will be crushed completely. They were like a hammer to crush others. A hammer then will crush them. Her enemies will come, and this is interesting to me. Her enemies will come from very far away. In other words, her enemies won't be right there on their borders. Her enemies will be those who come from very far away. So you can think Britain and the United States and some of those other nations, NATO. And they will break her open, just like you break open a granary to get the granary out. They're going to bust Babylon wide open. Some of the fugitives from that battle, from that area, will go to Zion, Mount Zion. And they will declare that destruction was obviously God's vengeance because they destroyed his temple. Who destroyed the temple of God, that temple back then? Wasn't it Nebuchadnezzar and his armies? And they took all those those implements and the tools, remember, and took them for themselves. And remember when Belteshazzar was there playing with them, he brought them out. That's the night he saw the writing on the wall when he was using those instruments. The Babylon themselves had crushed the temple, destroyed the house of God. And God says, I won't forget this. Thousands of years later, it's coming. Wow. He says, the bodies of the dead will be piled up like piles of grain, and the soldiers will be slaughtered. And those fugitives will all claim this is literally God's vengeance. Look at verse 29. Call together the archers against Babylon, all ye that bend the bow. Camp against it, surround it, round about. Let none thereof escape. Recompense her according to her work, according to all that she has done. Do unto her. For she hath been proud against the Lord, against the Holy One of Israel. There's that pride again. Therefore shall her young men fall in the streets, and all her men of war shall be cut off in that day, saith the Lord. Behold, I am against you, O thou most proud, saith the Lord, God of hosts. For thy day is come, the time that I will visit thee. And the most proud shall stumble and fall, and none shall raise him up. And I will kindle a fire in his cities, and it shall devour all round about him. The archers are called upon to surround Babylon, the city. They surround it, and when you're completely surrounded, that ensures one thing. When there's a complete surrounding of a city, that ensures no one escapes. Why? Why is God doing this? Why is God allowing this? Why is the destruction coming upon Babylon? Because she hath defied the Lord God Almighty. And Babylon, he calls her here arrogant. Babylon will also be destroyed because of her pride. God says, I'll kindle a fire that will consume all of you, all of Babylon. Verse 33 says, and the most proud shall stumble and fall. I'm sorry, verse 33. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the children of Israel and the children of Judah were oppressed together, and all that took them captives held them fast, and they refused to let them go. Their Redeemer is strong. The Lord of hosts is his name. He shall thoroughly plead their cause, that he may give rest to the land and disquiet the inhabitants of Babylon. And God says it, my people were being held captive, and when it was time to let them go, they refused to let them go. Almost like Pharaoh did. Remember Pharaoh? He refused to let God's people go. But God says this, but the people, the children of Israel, their Redeemer is strong. The Lord God Almighty, the Lord of hosts, he guarantees their release, their redemption, their return to the land. I like it. God himself promised to defend their cause, to defend his people and to take them out of their captivity. And he will, he says, give them rest in their own land. I ask you, are they at rest in their own land? The answer is no. Take a look at the news. If you haven't seen any today, just wait. There'll be more tomorrow. They are not at rest in their land. This is still future. But God will take them back, all of them, and they will be at rest in their own land. That's a promise. It's going to happen. Verse 35 says, a sword is upon the Chaldeans, saith the Lord, and upon the inhabitants of Babylon, and upon her princes and upon her wise men. A sword is upon the liars, and they that dote. A sword is upon her mighty men, and they shall be dismayed. A sword is upon their horses and upon their chariots, upon all the mingled people that are in the midst of her, and they shall become as women. A sword is upon her treasures. They shall be robbed. A drought is upon her waters. They shall be dried up, for it is the land of graven images, and they are mad upon their idols. I mean, there is nothing good said about this place. Nothing against women personally, but for men to run and hide and not fight, he says, they become like women. Not that women don't fight, just that he's making a point. So don't be offended, ladies. Too much. Sword is against Babylon, a drought against all in the land. Even the animals won't get out of this. Against all the foreigners. The foreigners, by the way, he's talking about here, aren't just people who live there. These foreigners he's talking about are those who choose to fight. They are paid to fight. They're mercenaries. Have you noticed? that there are many mercenaries in the nation of Iraq, Babylon, today fighting. And God says, woe to you guys as well. The sword is planned for you too. So the mercenaries will die also. No matter how much help Babylon gets, no matter how many people flood into Iraq to try and save it, there is a coming judgment upon that land. It's going to be crushed. It's going to be wiped out. So if you're wondering how this is all going to end, it's going to end in the complete destruction of Babylon. Do they have weapons of mass destruction? They won't. They won't have anything. Nothing will stop this from taking place. It's God's word. Verse 39 goes on and says, therefore, the wild beasts of the desert with the wild beasts of the inlands shall dwell therein. Owls shall dwell therein. And it shall be no more inhabited forever. Underline forever. Neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. Has that happened yet? Has Babylon become uninhabited forever and ever with only desert animals living there? No. So again, you see, the prophecy is future, but count on it. Underline it and watch, because it will take place. As God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, here they are mentioned again, Sodom and Gomorrah, and the neighbor cities thereof, saith the Lord, so shall no man abide therein, neither shall any son of man dwell therein. God promised the huge city of Babylon, the huge nation, but the city itself of Babylon, the huge city of Babylon, will be completely desolate, will be uninhabitable, except for a few desert animals. That's what's coming. The desolation will be so complete. Again, God compares it to Sodom and Gomorrah. Were they wiped out? Yes, they were. Are they still gone? Yes, they are. People can't find them. They were large cities in the areas of the plain near what we call the Dead Sea. And they are still gone to this very day. That was thousands upon thousands of years ago. God destroyed them so completely, they're gone. He says, I will do the same thing to Babylon. And the only thing that will be there will be critters, desert critters. No human life. Verse 41. Behold, a people shall come from the north, and a great nation, and many kings shall be raised up from the coasts of the earth. Again, the armies that come against them. They shall hold the bow and the lance. They are cruel, and they will not show mercy. Their voice shall roar like the sea, and they shall ride upon horses. Everyone put in array like a man to the battle against thee, O daughter of Babylon. The king of Babylon hath heard the report of them, and his hands grow feeble. He's afraid. Anguish took hold of him, and pangs of a woman in travail. Behold, he shall come up like a lion from the swelling of Jordan unto the habitation of the strong. But I will make them suddenly run away from her. And who is a chosen man that I may appoint over her? For who is like me? And who will appoint me the time? And who is that shepherd that will stand before me? Once again, God's challenging. If you think you're going to stop what I'm doing, there is no one who can. Therefore, hear the counsel of the Lord that he hath taken against Babylon and his purposes that he hath purposed against the land of the Chaldeans. Surely the least of the flock shall draw them out. Surely he shall make their habitation desolate with them. And the noise of the taking of Babylon, the earth is moved. Or at the noise of the taking of Babylon, the earth is moved. And the cry is heard among the nations. When Babylon's destroyed, it's going to be a loud noise. And it will scare and shake up the whole earth. God says, look at the army that's coming. This army will be completely prepared for its battle. Armed to the teeth is what you and I would say today. The army coming will be cruel, and there will be no quarter, no mercy, no break, no rest. Just as Babylon has been throughout the years, just as Saddam Hussein has been to his own people, destroying his own people with cruelty, God says, that's what's coming back in spades. Like a lion that viciously attacks a little lamb, the Lord says he will attack Babylon. And the rest of the world the Bible says, will tremble at his judgment. That's amazing. We'll probably finish the book of Jeremiah next week. That's amazing. When you look at what's going on right now, over in the Middle East, you would have never dreamed that all the powers that be would focus over there. The weather's bad. The soil's bad in most places. What they've got is a little bit of oil. And yet, the focus remains on a few acres of land on the top of that hill called the Temple Mount. The final battle for the entire earth will be fought for that few acres of property. And God says, I'll destroy everyone who has mistreated my people throughout the years. I will never forget what Babylon has done. And even though all these that we read are still future, Babylon was defeated, but has never been crushed and completely destroyed like it did to all others. That's coming. God says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. You can believe that our God is a consuming fire. That when his wrath is poured out, it will be poured out until it is completely empty. That's what the Bible teaches us. This is the time that the Bible calls, you and I call, the term we could use is a period of grace. We call it the church age. It's a time when anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord can be saved. Anyone. No questions asked. It's kind of like a get out of hell free card. You can say yes to the Lord now. But there is coming a time when the day will be over. Jesus says we work while it's day, but the night is coming. There's coming a time when the church, I believe, will be taken out of and away from the scene of all of this. And when that takes place, the first seal will be opened. Jesus Christ will open that. He is in heaven. When he opens that first seal, nothing will stop them from falling, just like dominoes. And you will see the wrath of the living God poured out on this planet. Jesus says there has never been anything like it in all of the history of the world. And with the weapons and the capabilities that we have, we can't imagine what it's going to be like when it's all turned loose, when God himself pours out his anger on this world. That's what's coming. If you've never accepted Jesus, whew, this will be a great time. Because I don't know the day or the hour, but these things are yet future, and we're set up for them now. Let's bow our heads.